Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
So I'm going to share something about me that maybe you may not have ever guessed about your worship pastor. But as a child, I was very rambunctious, to say the least. I was never really poorly behaved. I was pretty well behaved, but I wasn't quiet, and I certainly wasn't reserved, okay? And let me show you a picture here. This is the house I actually grew up in Queens, Woodside, New York, in the borough of Queens. And so it was a small two-family home. There was an apartment upstairs and an apartment downstairs, and I lived with my grandparents and my aunt who lived upstairs in the apartment, and then my mom and I lived downstairs. And my grandmother, who I grew up, I'm from a Cuban family, so we spoke Spanish in the house, and I would call her abuela. And so right before I would leave, my abuela knew that I was a pretty rambunctious child. And so before I would go to a friend's house or to a cousin's house or even to school, she'd make me go to the bottom of the steps, and she was upstairs, and I'd say, "Hey, Grandma, abuela, I'm leaving." And she'd say, "Jeanette," and I'd come over, and she'd look me straight in the eye from the top of those steps, and she'd say this with the most serious and kind of scary voice. She'd say, "Fundamento, Yanesita, fundamento." Yanesita is just a little nickname that I had. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but okay, no problem, and I'd be off on my way on my next adventure. And every time I'd leave the house, without fail, she'd say to me, "Fundamento." And to be honest, it wasn't until I was older and had children of my own that I realized that what my grandmother was saying was that she was reminding me to remember the fundamentals of what I had been taught, to remember the essentials of what my family had taught me, the roots of my morals. Hey, when you go out, when you go to your friend's house, when you go to school, remember what we've taught you. That was fundamental. And this brings us to where we are in the book of Joshua, Joshua 23. If you would turn with me there, we're going to be reading from Joshua 23 today. And nearing the end of his life, Joshua had spent years leading the Israelites to the promised land, the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And together, they had seen God work powerful miracles. None of them could have been predicted, right? They had walked through parted waters. They had witnessed and they had commemorated God's faithfulness. They had worshiped God together, even conquering Jericho as the walls fell down. They fought battles together. And from chapters 11 to 23, which it looks like we're taking a hop, skip, and a jump from last week all the way to chapter 23, some things happen in those chapters. The nation defeated more kings. They divided up the land, and all those chapters in between talk about how the land was divided and all the kings that they conquered. Now Joshua is at the end of his life, and he leaves the Israelites with words of encouragement and warning. Encouragement and warning. And like my grandmother before I left the house, Joshua doesn't really share anything new with them. In fact, you could summarize it possibly in one word: fundamento. He reminds them to remember the fundamentals, the essential things that they had witnessed and learned on their journey together. And perhaps this morning, he's reminding us to do the same. He reminds them the source of their blessing. He reminds them the source of their future troubles. and that above all, their God is faithful and fulfills his promise. So let's dive into the word together. I'm going to actually be reading from the NLT today. So if you have the NIV, bear with me, but the NLT will be on the screen. Joshua 23:1. The years passed, and the Lord had given the people of Israel rest from all their enemies. So let me pause here for a second. The Israelites had been through a lot. They had battle after battle, and there was so much work, and they saw God do amazing things, and now God was giving them rest, a time to pause, to reflect, and Joshua reminds them of their blessing. Let's read on. Joshua, who was now very old, probably 110 or so, called together all the elders, leaders, judges, and officers of Israel. He said to them, "I'm a very old man. You have seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. I have allotted to you as your homeland all the lands of the nations yet unconquered, as well as the lands of those we have already conquered, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. This land will be yours, for the Lord your God will himself drive out all the people living there now. You will take possession of their land just as the Lord your God promised you." Now, let me tell you, you already know I'm not good at sports, okay? But if I were to be in a game of 2-on-2 or 3-on-2 basketball, I might have some of these people on my team. I would choose maybe Jasmine and Jeremiah Griffin. They are phenomenal basketball players. Rodolfo's son, RJ, he's a phenomenal basketball player. I might include Pastor Kevin and Kirby, but I heard they're not that great. And, you know, if they were on my team, we would win, and I would celebrate in the victory. But I can promise you that the only reason we would have won that game is not because I scored all the points, but because they did. The same is true if I were to be in a relay race, okay? If I were to be in a relay race, I would have maybe Katie Simini, who's a great runner, or these are the three fastest boys I know. I'm partial to the one on your left. That's my son-in-law, Jacob, and his brothers. We call them the Hess boys because they are phenomenal runners. And if I were to run a relay with them, they would be picking up my slack, and we would certainly win, but it wouldn't be because of me. It would be because of them. And that's exactly what Joshua is telling the Israelites here. He's saying, they had victory, and the reason that they were able to drive out the great and powerful nation was because the Lord, their God, had done it for them. It was because the Lord, their God, had driven them out. The Israelites had victory and were able to drive out the powerful nations because the Lord drove them out, not because of their own power. And it wasn't because of what they did in their own power. In the end of the story, yes, they had to obey, but it was God himself who fought and won those victories. So Joshua was saying, listen, I'm old. I've seen how great God is, and I've seen what he's done for you, and you've seen it too. And it wasn't because of your strength that brought you victory. The Lord fought for you, and he's the one who drove out the enemies, and he still has work to do, so sit tight, because he has promises he is yet to fulfill, and he will fulfill them. So Joshua continues, and then he warns them and explains the source of their future trouble. Let's read on in verse 6 through 11. So be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left. Make sure you do not associate with the other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their God, much less swear by them to serve them or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord. Everyone say with me, cling tightly. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God, as you have done until now. For the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemies, for the Lord your God fights for you just as he has promised. So, be very careful to love the Lord your God. Doesn't that sound familiar? Joshua is actually echoing the very same words that he said back in Joshua 1:7. If you remember back in the very beginning of the series, we read almost these exact same words. That scripture said, do not deviate from the things that Moses wrote. Do not turn to the right or to the left. And Joshua is urging the Israelites to stay vigilant. The earthly things around might look enticing, but they mustn't even acknowledge the other gods. Don't even acknowledge them. He knew that if the Israelites began to associate with them, that they were at risk of being led astray. And that was kind of their MO, right? They had trouble with this in the past. They would drift towards these idols, and this warning really is for us too. See, today's idols, they don't look like statues maybe. So you might say, well, I don't bow down to a statue. I'm good, Jeanette. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what they did back then. I don't do it now. Great. But this is what our idols can maybe look like now. It's the very things that we hold really dear to our life and to our heart. Things that we end up prioritizing ahead of God without even realizing it. And the enemy knows that he may not get you to denounce God completely, but he can cause us to just put things out of order when it comes to our priorities. He can suddenly shift our focus, making you believe that the good things in your life deserve first place, and that's idol worship. So your job, you might think, man, I'm just passionate about my job. I want to do my job with excellence. I mean, it says in God's word that we are to work as if we're working for the Lord and not for man, and yes, that's biblical, but be careful. Because before you know it, you're chasing career success at the expense of your relationship with God and those around you. Or perhaps, if we're not careful, we'll pursue wealth. And you might say, you know, I follow Dave Ramsey, Jeanette. It's important to have financial freedom. I agree. I follow Dave Ramsey too. But be careful. Because if we're not, the pursuit of wealth and material and security can take precedence over our spiritual growth and our dependence on God. Then we have hobbies and talent and sports and music and travel. These gifts, these are all gifts that God has given us. And yes, we can use them to honor him. But sometimes, without noticing, they start to consume all of our time and energy. And we skip church because there's a game or because there's rehearsal or your spiritual life gets pushed to the back burner because those things start taking precedence in your life. Even our family, that's a hard one. Because it's God's given responsibility to us. It's important. But God never intended for our spouse or our children or friendships to take precedence over our relationship with him. And here's one that I probably struggle with the most. I'm being real transparent here. Church. You're like, isn't that the point, Jeanette? But we can spend so much time clinging to the ministries we are a part of that we don't realize that we've loosened our grip on God. And we have neglected spending time with him in the name of doing stuff for him. It's a slow fade. There was an old Casting Crown song that came out back in the day, and it talked about that. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. And don't get me wrong, none of these things are bad. They're all wonderful things. I'm not saying keep them out of your life, please. Don't pick up what I'm not putting down. You understand? But if we're not vigilant, one small compromise at a time, they can start to pull us away from God, and we have to be so careful. Martin Luther said this once. He said that the reason the first commandment is first, you shall have no other gods before me, right? That's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And he says the reason that one's first is because the human heart is an idol factory. And when we break any of the other commandments, it's usually because we've broken the first commandment first. So if we might find ourselves coveting, stealing, dishonoring our parents, committing other sins, why? Because we haven't prioritized God first in our life. When we do that, everything else falls in line. Anybody here been skydiving before? Come on, raise your hand. Have you? Anybody been skydiving? Any? You have? That's awesome. Who else? Over here? You've been, Brian Charette's been skydiving?
It wasn't like it was a choice to that. I was in the Marine Corps.
Oh, gotcha. I haven't tried it yet. I don't think I ever will. However, here's something that's really intriguing about skydiving, okay? If you are an inexperienced skydiver, usually the first time you skydive with an instructor clinged to you, attached to you, okay? It's called a tandem skydive, tandem skydive. And the instructor wears a parachute on his back, and the student is secured with a harness that links to the instructor's parachute. And so the instructor is wearing a harness, and there are actually four links, right? There's two at the shoulder and two at the hip, and they link onto the person that they're going to jump out of a plane with. I feel like I need to really know my skydiver to do that, right? But that's how it works, okay? And then the instructor takes charge of the student's safety. He takes charge of the equipment. He takes charge of the movements in the air. It's pretty interesting, right? Take a look at somebody who went skydiving. Everybody want to do that now? No? Hang with me for a second here. There's a point. Joshua reminds the Israelites that they can't do this on their own, so they need to hold fast to God. And this verse calls them to loyalty and to perseverance. And he's reminding them that their success is rooted in their relationship with him. Of course, we have free will. We make our own choices, even our bad ones, right? And he isn't going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do, that you won't choose to do on your own. He will counsel you. He will inform you. He's even going to lay out the consequences in case you disobey. But take a look at this skydiver and his instructor. What would happen if the person skydiving overestimated their ability and thought midway through the fall, you know what? I don't need this instructor. Anybody can jump out of a plane. I think I'm just going to detach my rig and no longer cling to him. We all know what's going to happen, right? He's going to fall to his death. Without a parachute, he's going to fall because the instructor's the one wearing the parachute. And no one in this room is going to blame the instructor for the diver's choice to detach. The diver who chose to detach knew what would happen if he chose to jump and let go of his instructor. He knew the consequences. In the same way, God lays out the consequences if the Israelites choose to not cling to him, to not tether to him. Let's read on in verse 12 through 13. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of the nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your back and thorny brambles in your eyes. And you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you. God lays out the consequences of not clinging to him and not trusting him. And we often misunderstand promises as all of the good things God says he's going to do for us, right? But I'll tell you one thing. If I go to my daughter's room and it's a mess, and I know she's about to go hang out with some friends, and I say to her, if you don't clean up this room, I promise you are not going out with your friends. And guess what? If she doesn't clean her room, what did I promise? She wasn't going to go out with her friends. And I want to be a parent who says what they mean. So I'm going to hold her to it because I promised her. And if I didn't hold her to it, I wouldn't be a parent of my word. And Joshua warned them about intermarriage with other nations. It's a concern that when a believer marries a non-believer, compromises are being made. Outside influence then can diminish the witness of a follower of Jesus, even today. Can I get on my soapbox for a second? I'm just going to give you a little side note. For those of you who are single, regardless of your age, make sure you choose a spouse who will not compromise your commitment to Jesus. Don't do it. Just because someone goes to church doesn't mean they're a follower of Christ. It's a good start. If they're not leading you closer to Jesus, they're not spouse material. I don't care how good looking they are. Y'all with me? Single people? Joshua concludes by reminding them that God is faithful and he keeps his promises. Let's read verse 14. Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. God is a God of his word. Aren't you glad? He has kept every promise. And the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials that are listening to Joshua say these last words are, they can see, they can go back and see the fulfillment of all of God's promises. They had heard and seen God come through again and again and again because he's a God who did and does and will keep his word. I'm thankful. Let me tell you a story. Back in 2016, I had been in full-time ministry for a few years. I had started full-time ministry in 2012. And my church, when I started, was in the midst of a nasty church split. We had gone from a church of 800, and when I came on board, we were at like, I don't know, 200 or 250. It was major. And at the time, I was actually serving as the PM worship pastor. We had an evening service, and I was the children's director. And I remember the heartbreak that came along with families leaving. I mean, families I had poured my life into, I had done life with, and they were leaving the church, and it just broke my heart. And in the midst of all this, God led me to this scripture, in Isaiah 49, verse 20 and 21. It's not going to be on the screen, so just listen. It says, "The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, 'This place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in.' Then you will say in your heart, 'Who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up?'" And I was like, "God, we hardly have any kids. Why are you giving me this? How's that going to happen?" But I was excited. So I shared with my coworkers because I felt like this scripture gave me hope that God was going to restore his people and he was going to restore the church again. And so I went to my coworkers and I told them about what God had said to me, and they were excited, but to be honest with you, very little visible change happened over the next 2 years. And in 2018, something seemed to shift. And just before the pandemic, we grew from about 200 people to about 500 people. And after reopening in 2020, we were over and close to 600 after the pandemic. May of 2020. Crazy. Can you imagine the overwhelming feeling I felt every time I heard our children's pastor, because I was no longer the children's pastor after that time, when she would come to me and say, "Jeanette, where am I going to put all these kids? There is no room. We need to build. We need to empty out rooms. We need to clear out storage. There's no room for these kids." It gave me goosebumps every time. Last fall, at staff retreat, I was really doing nothing in particularly spiritual. I had just eaten lunch. I was about to throw out my plate on the way to the garbage. And God said, "Do you remember that scripture I gave you in 2016? That one about not having enough room? I'm going to do it again. Are you ready?" I believe he's going to do it again. We serve a God who says what he means, and I trust him because his track record is great. Here's the bottom line. Cling to God, for he is faithful to keep his promises. Just as my abuela reminded me to hold fast to the fundamentals they had taught me before every adventure, Joshua reminded the Israelites to cling to God, to remember all that God had done for them, and to trust in his promises. And just as God kept his promises to Israel, God is still keeping his promises today. He is still faithful today. When we cling to him, when we trust in his word, when we walk in obedience, we can be confident that he will come through just as he always has. I promise. And as we sing a final song today, I invite you to come forward. You'll see it kind of looks like a mess up here, but there's purpose to this mess. At the altars and on the front of the stage here, there are carabiners as a reminder to stay tethered to God. That's what the skydiver is hooked onto when they tandem skydive. Now, their carabiners are a lot stronger than these, I promise. But perhaps you want to put them on a keychain or put them anywhere you might see fit, a backpack, whatever it is. And I want you to think of this inexperienced skydiver clinging to their tandem instructor in fear and uncertainty that they would rely on the one they're attached to? Would you rely on the God who you cling to? The only God who is able to keep his promises. Clip the carabiner wherever it is you might want to remember that. Because God's unshakable promise is like no other. Trust him. Know that he's holding on to you securely through every season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that as a child clings on to the neck of their mom or dad, Lord, you give us the opportunity to cling on to you. Lord, I pray that today, whatever it is we're holding on to, that we would let go of those things of this world and we would instead take a hold of you. And remember that you are a God who says and does what he says. You are a God who is true to his word. We never have to second guess if you're going to come through. Because you're always there. You're always faithful. Lord, we want to cling to you. There's no other. We love you, Lord Jesus. Speak to us even during this time. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.